This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We know anxiety can affect anyone, but for a growing number of young men, it's showing up in ways that are intense, physical, and sometimes completely misunderstood. And a new study from the University of Melbourne reveals what's pushing these young men to breaking point and what happens when they finally ask for help. And joining us is Krista Fisher, Research Fellow at the Centre for Youth Mental Health at the University of Melbourne. Krista, welcome for Drive.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's start with the big picture. What did your team set out to learn with this research?
This research came from a study in my PhD. My PhD was all focused around young men's anxiety, actually. And the reason why I wanted to hone in on anxiety specifically was that the majority of young men's or men's mental health research at the time, which was about 2020 when I started, had mainly focused on men's depression and male suicide. And, you know, they're two certainly very important areas. But to me, there was such a kind of wide open space to better understand anxiety, especially when it is actually the most common mental health condition that men will be diagnosed with and experience. Yet we really, at that point, had very little understanding about what those experiences look like, what symptoms they can present with, and what their pathways to help seeking and health services are.
Krista, when I was reading your research many years ago, I was working in a very stressful job in the city, and I was catching a tram home. It was going down Bridge Road, and I felt this tightness in my chest, and I haven't sort of felt anything like it before. It was so tight. And of course, then I started thinking, oh my goodness, am I having a heart attack? Is something going wrong? And the tram went past Epworth in Richmond. I thought, I'm going to get off and go to emergency, which is of course what we should do when we're experiencing chest pain.
Absolutely.
But it turns out it was just anxiety. And I was surprised at how easily you could get the symptoms confused with each other. Is that what you found with the research?
Definitely, definitely. Firstly, thank you for sharing like that story. Your individual experience aligns a lot with what I had found and what the results suggested from my last study of my PhD, which was all around ambulance presentations of young men experiencing anxiety issues. And so many cases, I looked at 700 paramedic notes, so many of those cases mirrored very similarly or aligned very closely with that story that you just shared, where the physical symptoms were incredibly intense and often they can be overlooked as a serious or potentially life-threatening health condition like a heart attack or like a respiratory condition, which, as you said, absolutely warrants calling up emergency services. And from emergency services perspective, warrants alerts and alarm response. Mm-hmm. Like that goes straight to category one. Because, you know, even though the likelihood of someone under 30, which was the age criteria that I set for this study, of having a heart attack is more unlikely than likely, we never want to take that risk. But for me, the interesting thing is what happens after a paramedic presents, or in your case, you present to emergency departments and, or, you know, you even present to a GP, for example, with these really intense physical symptoms. And as you very eloquently said, you find out it's just anxiety. Why do we label it as just anxiety? When those symptoms and some experiences are incredibly overwhelming absolutely, you know, can be missed or mimic physical kind of conditions that are incredibly debilitating.
Do you think there's a lack of awareness amongst young men about anxiety and how it can present itself and also how to manage it?
Definitely. Definitely, definitely. So that was one of the big takeaways from my PhD and the research that I did. The reasons why anxiety can be overlooked, or there is a lack of awareness of anxiety, especially amongst young men, is multifaceted. There are a few reasons for that. The most important I want to highlight is that often ideas about masculinity, for example, and the way that men should behave and the traits that they should display, stereotypically conflict with the experience of worry, of fear, of anxiety. And what that means and what that's resulted in is a lack of visibility of anxiety amongst men, a lack of male role models, be that fathers, coaches, even professional athletes, talking about anxiety. So when young men or boys experience some of these symptoms, they don't think that anxiety is something men experience, number one. Or the secondary component of that is their experiences, sometimes being physical symptoms, don't align with what they think anxiety looks and feels like, because it can stereotypically be displayed or portrayed as like a neuroticism, a rumination. And, you know, as we talked about, those physical symptoms sometimes aren't always associated with that rumination.
Krista, do you think that anxiety has a lot of stigma around it and perhaps a lot of shame associated with it, and therefore men in particular are reluctant to admit that they could be suffering from anxiety?
Yes, that's the other big part of this. And we have made a lot of progress with destigmatizing mental illness and opening up conversations and, you know, bringing awareness to the challenges that men specifically face with their mental health. And, you know, that's really important. We have made progress there, and I don't want to dismiss or diminish that. But unfortunately, anxiety is a unique one where the stigma that's associated with especially men's anxiety is that it isn't taken as seriously as other mental health conditions like depression or like suicide. So sometimes there's this idea that it's only warranted being spoken about if it's lumped with depression. You know, I have anxiety and depression, or it can be dismissed as something that's not as serious. And what I really want to ensure I advocate for, and what has certainly come through in this most recent research, is that that isn't the case. Anxiety symptoms can be incredibly debilitating, and we need to do more to legitimise those experiences amongst young men.
We're chatting with Krista Fisher from the Centre for Youth Mental Health at the University of Melbourne about what's really happening when young men experience intense, frightening symptoms and the hidden role anxiety might be playing. Krista, you found some patterns in the way that anxiety can show up. Can you walk us through some of those, please?
Mm-hmm. So those patterns that you're referring to, that was from the ambulance study that I did, analysing and distilling 700 paramedic notes from young men's anxiety presentations to ambulance services. And my goal for that was to create what I call typologies of anxiety presentations. So I distilled all of those cases by similarities in terms of the clinical symptoms that young men were presenting with, but also the context that kind of led them to call 000 for assistance. So the first typology was called psychosomatic anxiety. That is more related to those very intense physical symptoms that you and I were discussing before. So a lot of young men who had this psychosomatic anxiety were presenting or calling up to ambulance services because they thought they were having a heart attack, or they were experiencing, shortness of breath, and they didn't know what was happening. There was a lot of uncertainty. They hadn't really experienced anything like this before, and there was a lot of fear that they were, experiencing something that was really serious in terms of physical illness or potentially life-threatening. The second typology was called substance-related anxiety, and those anxiety presentations were for young men who had either been using substances like alcohol or like other pharmaceutical or illicit drugs to cope with anxiety and that had exacerbated their symptoms, or anxiety symptoms had arisen from increasing substance use. And the last typology, complex anxiety, those presentations often involved anxiety symptoms that were associated with other deteriorations in young men's mental health. So there was either self-harm or suicidal behaviours or suicidal attempts. And these young men had a lot of other situational stresses going on for them. They may have just had a relationship breakdown, or they may be experiencing unstable housing, financial difficulties or unemployment.
Krista, let's say, you know, someone does present at the emergency department with these severe symptoms of anxiety and they're diagnosed of having anxiety, their heart's okay. Is there, once they're discharged from the emergency department, is there enough support in place for these men to take the next step in getting support?
The difficulty, unfortunately, with our emergency services, that is our emergency departments, our ambulance services, is that our emergency mental health services and the triage pathways through to that are incredibly overwhelmed and under-resourced. There is a big burden that is placed on all of the staff that work in those areas, and they do a fantastic job. But what that means is that the triage criteria, so I guess the level that that mental health challenges need to meet essentially, is tricky because we don't have enough services to cover or cater for everyone who, for example, may be experiencing anxiety but not have any, they may not be a threat to themselves or others. So there are absolutely standards for follow-up care and discharge to the community and other, I guess, complementary community services, mental health services that are offered for people experiencing anxiety. But I think we really need to do a better job to tailor those services to the gendered experience of anxiety for young men. So having, for example, a digital resource that may have a psychoeducation component to it, where young men can kind of see another male talking about their own anxiety experiences or learn a little bit more about those physical symptoms and how to de-escalate those when they arise. And even thinking about education resources for parents and families and carers around how we can be the best help giver, how we can also identify or spot the signs for someone struggling with anxiety.
Krista, Matt in Geelong raises a good point. I was embarrassed after the Ambos left. It took me ages to go to see a GP. I have to admit, when it happened to me, I was a bit embarrassed. I thought, oh my goodness, I've wasted their time. But that's not how we should look at it, is it?
No, definitely not. And, you know, I am not a paramedic. I can't speak on behalf of paramedics, but we absolutely know it's really important that people call out, and if there is any question about the symptoms that they're experiencing, reach out for that emergency support. The unfortunate aspect sometimes of reaching or seeking out those emergency services is that some of the staff there are time limited, so there isn't that wraparound care. You know, you don't have that follow-up relationship with those doctors or nurses or social workers. That's why primary care is really important as well. You have a regular GP and you can, I guess, unpack some of that shame or stigma or embarrassment with them, but absolutely not. You know, the most important thing that we can do is encourage young men, anyone who is struggling with anxiety, with any mental health challenges, to seek support and to put their hand up. And in fact, doing that is the most courageous thing you can do, absolutely, both for yourself, you know, and for others. I can speak on behalf of someone as a help giver. When someone says to me that they need support, be that in my professional life or personal life, I have nothing but admiration for that ability.
Daniel from Peran says, I ended up in emergency twice before I accepted that I needed help for anxiety. And this one also, I had to call an ambulance for my wife one night. She was told it's not a heart attack, but anxiety. So it seems that it's more common than we realise.
Yeah, and that was one other key finding from the research that I did and work that had been done in this area, was that anxiety actually made up the primary or the most frequent event related to men's mental health ambulance presentation. So that was over and above depression and over and above psychosis. So it is more common, I think, certainly than I thought, but potentially maybe others think as well.
Krista, great research, and thanks for shining a light on it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Krista Fisher, Research Fellow at the Centre for Youth Mental Health at the University of Melbourne. If you need support, Lifeline is available 131114 or Beyond Blue 1300224636, or just head to joy.org.au/support.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.